Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Leg up.
Now, it's the rundown presented by Trippett Insurance. Trippett Insurance at 6462 Stage Road in Bartlett. Depend on your local insurance agent. Trippett Insurance at 901-365-1472. Online at trippettagency.com. The rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Now everybody in the club getting tipsy. Ja Morant is back tonight for the Memphis Grizzlies as they take on the Houston Rockets right here in Memphis. Grizzlies 13-point favorites tonight over the Houston Rockets. Yet to be determined whether or not Ja is going to come off the bench or start.
I feel like that's unnecessary. There's 11 games left.
It is. You know, look, we have a hard enough time getting these guys on the floor together, right? Like, I was thinking about that this morning. Like,
yeah.
It is silly, right? It is silly how little, like, the best players on this team have played together.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, it's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Ja got suspended or hurt.
Jaren to start the year.
Jaren's not. Steven Adams.
Right.
Dylan Brooks just gets suspended every other game.
It's true. And that's been sort of the story of the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Is not seeing all of it together.
And at some point it becomes you.
Your story.
Right. At some point it's not like, oh, well, they, you know, just wait till they get on the floor
it's
together.
True.
No, at some
it's
point
true.
It just becomes they're never going to get on the floor together. But in terms of tonight, look, I mean, Houston is a joke. Houston is among the worst teams in the NBA. And what the script usually is, at least at home for the Rockets, is they'll play it tough in the first half, and then they'll just eventually fold up. In the second. On the road here, I mean, I assume they'll probably just fold up altogether. I mean, John Morant's going to have an emotional return, and you should coast tonight.
Yeah, when he said he sort of. And maybe he was just playing humble, and that's a good way to go. But when asked about what he thought in terms of reception tomorrow, man, that place gonna go crazy.
Oh, come on, man.
That's just common sense tell you that.
Come
so
on.
Surely that was humility. That was saying I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm comfortable.
Josh sandbagging.
Yeah, that thing. That we love a redemption story. And like we said, he said enough of the right things yesterday that place is gonna go absolutely nuts when they introduce him. And so that's my thing. Why would you? Why bring him off the bench? Introduce him as a starter. That's what he is. It's like Dylan Brooks said, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need you controlling the fourth quarter again. We need you back all the way in. And back all the way in is Ja Morant as a starter. Now, I can understand looking at it, too, is, well, Tyus Jones, as a starter, is playing some high-level basketball. And right now, we've won 6 of 7. Without Ja, we've sort of found a formula. So, makes some sense to work him back in.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not, it's if it's a dress rehearsal, if you look at it that way, getting ready for these playoffs, you need Ja Morant as a starter. You don't waste too many more games here. I'd rather have my starters know. And Tyus, because that's what it's going to be in the playoffs, comfortable in that role coming off the bench again and hopefully playing like a starter off the bench. I don't think you need to mess with it.
No.
But if it's a game, I'm not going to sit up here. Can't come up here. Oh, Grizzlies have blown it this time. If they bring him off the bench for a game.
Yeah, but I think
then you're starting him by Friday against Houston.
Yeah,
you're not going to be mad at that. I just think it's unnecessary.
I think we could do without the pageantry there.
I'm with you.
Just put him back in the starting lineup.
But maybe it's more symbolic. He told the team this is his way back in, and you're sort of you need to, in some ways, if it's part of it, you earn your way back with your teammates and all that.
That's fine.
If you want to do that for a game as part of the pageantry, like you said, trying to get that back with your teammates, go right ahead.
If Ja feels like that's good for the team, then I'm with it. Whatever. I support it. Do what
one
you,
game.
Right, one game. Yeah, let's not make this a habit, man. Need you on the starting lineup. But, yeah, catch that game right here.
What would Houston look like with Wembanyama next year?
Houston?
Is that the best team in terms of a team that, you know, he goes to a situation? Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's not going to be anywhere close. You realize that, right?
Yeah, they're not.
Like, at one point, we thought they'd be in the mix.
No, they've won too many games.
They're messing around trying to get out of the play-in, trying to be the sixth seed. Back to the point.
I mean, I like a lot of Houston's pieces.
If you put him with Jabari and those guys down there.
I mean, I like Jabari. I like Tari Eason. I like Jalen
Eason's
Green.
Good.
You know? I mean, I like a lot of their raw pieces. They don't play well together, but they're probably just young. So they'll figure out which of these guys – you know, stick, which of these guys, you know, deserve to be there long term. But Houston I think it's going to happen pretty quickly for them if Wembanyama is the guy we think he is.
Like, he messed around going to Detroit with everything else they got.
And that, too.
They'll go up fast.
They will. That's 100% right.
I don't know on Houston yet because I'm not sure those pieces fit the same way. That said, Detroit would have, I mean, this guy, Wembanyama's 7 foot or whatever, 7 whatever he is, 7'6", whatever it is, something crazy, but. He's more of a perimeter guy, so I guess Wiseman and Durin are still in the mix. Can you imagine what that lineup looks like with Cunningham and then
– who else they got? Jaden Ivey?
Ivey and Cunningham.
Mm-hmm. Jaden Ivey. They don't have any shooting, though. I guess Bogdanovich, is he still there? I think so.
Yeah.
That's your team?
We're leaving somebody out, one of their young guys that I like.
Killian Hayes? Not him.
Sadiq.
They traded him.
He's gone.
Yeah, they traded him at the deadline.
Somebody else they got.
Yeah, that's got to be somebody else. Because you would not be sitting here saying Sadiq Bey.
Well, I know Ivy and Cunningham and Durin.
Yeah.
I just like it better the way it fits than I do what Houston's got.
I don't have any issues with that.
Anyway, back to the point. Yeah, who cares? The Rockets, second worst team in the league.
I think there are a lot of people who appreciate you mentioning the Rockets.
They're going to be the ones that are making the headlines here in a minute, trying to win the lottery for Wembanyama. Yeah. Whoever gets Scoot, though, is going to get a stud.
Yeah, for sure. It's a good draft.
I don't think it's Zion Ja, though.
It's a really good draft. No, it's most likely not, but maybe. I mean, if Wembanyama is LeBron, I mean, Zion's never available, so he's a myth at this point.
You know, I meant it in terms of two was better than one. Scoot ain't going to end up better than Wembanyama.
Right.
Don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. Anyway, Grizz Rockets tonight right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Next story.
All right, I want to run this past John because he had a lot of energy for Deion Sanders when he told those poor boys at Colorado, y'all got to get to packing. You're getting up out of here. Remember that? John, I think, spent a good 15-minute segment on it and has included and pointed out that he will be rooting against Deion Sanders this year for how terse he got with those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to know if John had the same energy Rick Pitino yesterday as he was introduced as the new St. John's coach. Pretty much said, clean him out! Mm-hmm. Now, there may be a major difference here. We'll see. But as far as what he said, he let them know, John, in a not-so-subtle way, that a lot of the team's players probably won't be back because why? They're not a good fit. Basically said it's a square peg trying to put it in a circle hole. I got to clean the whole thing out. The whole thing's nasty.
Yeah.
All of you go. Now, there is a big difference in there. Hey, one more thing One more thing as I run this by you. You know, I know there's a godfather around here who loves cutting players. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he does.
And we like to laugh about it a little bit.
I mean, it's your prerogative whether or not to laugh at it.
When Deion was cutting it, it was a problem. We got a problem in college sports when we're talking to kids like this. But now when the godfather cuts somebody, what do?
Again, that's you guys.
We applaud it at this point. I'm just curious, do you have the same energy for Rick Pitino, who basically said, these are a bunch of bums.
Mm-hmm.
I got to clean them out,
now, do you have
and I'm going to bring in my own people.
Now, sir, do you have the exact quote, sir?
I just told you some of them.
No, that was paraphrased.
Here's what he said. The players he loves, he's got to be total over-the-top in love with the game of basketball. If you're not, it's just a bad fit with me. It doesn't work. So there will be a lot of players who, I hope, will move on to greener pastures. Probably, he said, a lot of players probably won't be back because they're not a good fit.
Okay. Yeah, so some key differences, obviously, right, that you alluded to already.
Semantics.
No.
Yes.
Big differences, key differences. He didn't do this on video. He didn't embarrass those kids on tape and put it out for the world to see. and say, no, y'all slow as hell. Y'all play can't play.
The Godfather doesn't do that either, does he? He does it behind closed doors. He doesn't do whack these folks on camera.
Let me introduce you to some other differences as well. Rick Pitino is a two-time champ.
Oh, man, please.
Two-time champ.
And?
How many
you just talking about what he did in the restaurant the other night.
How many Final Fours Rick got? Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. Man, got seven Final Fours. Did Deion win the Celebration Bowl? Did he win the Celebration Bowl this year? I don't believe so. I believe that man lost the only game that matters down there this year.
You're pulling for a man in this case who is morally bankrupt.
Again, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge?
Okay. Look, you're judging pretty good on Deion.
Again.
Yes, you are. Because he said, I'm bringing my Louis.
Right. Exactly.
It was the way he talked to those white kids, wasn't it?
It ain't got nothing to do with their race.
Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean why. I should have just said kids.
Do with their color or creed, man. And most of those kids were not white. There were some white players in there, but it was not about that. It was about the fact that you did it. You've been on the job for 12 hours, and the first thing you want to do is just embarrass the whole program.
But that's Deion's brand, the documentary and everything. That's the difference here. You're right. There is a difference in doing it publicly when it's on camera and talking to the players than what Rick and what Penny have done. But you know that too to be Deion.
It's like
that. That's. And so, he should change because now he's at Colorado as opposed to Jackson.
Well,
but that's what you get with Deion, and along with it, you get wins, at least so far.
Again, to me,
there's no difference. Deion said the same thing Rick said and the same thing that Penny says when he's ready to move on from guys.
There's a difference if John Morant doesn't click go live on Instagram, isn't there?
Sure.
Right? He broadcasts that to the world.
Bro, difference. But that, again, dude, you go to these, what are we talking about? That's with a gun. What are we talking about here?
I'm saying, though, are we naive to think, like, John Morant's just never going to go to the strip club again? Of course not. But I guarantee you this, he ain't going to go on Instagram Live when he does it. So I think it's fine to say whatever you want to say to your guys behind closed doors. But when you choose to embarrass them publicly is where I draw the line. I thought that was an overstep by a guy that can't even win the Celebration Station Bowl. It's not that difficult. You know, Rick Pitino, two-time champ.
There's another deeper reason you don't like Deion. And dude, you as loud as he is.
Huh?
Like, y'all ain't much different.
Who?
In terms of saying what you gonna do and all that. You and Deion. Y'all, two peas in a pod. In a lot of ways. But when you see yourself sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Ugh.
You think that's what that is?
What are you talking about? There's a lot of similarities between you and Deion.
You funny, man. You funny. Anyway, you just want to throw
Rick Pitino,
that at me,
yeah, yeah. Well, I'm just making sure we're holding them all accountable.
Yeah, Rick Pitino didn't say that on camera, man.
That was another thing. He hated the. I'm glad you played the drop, bro.
Because
I'm coming line.
That man went in three games next year. What you coming to, man? What you coming to exactly? 33% win percentage. That's what you coming to?
Mm-hmm. You brag all day about the kind of your jump shot basketball player you are. Every tell us what you gonna do. Got humble against Jay. Still says he's great.
Yeah,
Deion ain't no different.
We ain't talking about what he did as a player, Wayne Peoples. We ain't talking about that. We talking about what he did and has done as a coach,
Deion.
Yes.
What else he got to do for you?
Win the Celebration Bowl.
You keep moving it.
Win the Celebration Bowl at least, bro.
Dude, he turned Jackson
Super
State
Bowl.
From dog into good. I don't care about that.
And then what
it was
do?
Enough to get Colorado to say,
back.
We want some of that.
And then he turned his back on it, man. He turned his back on Jackson State and HBCUs everywhere. That's another part I have a problem with.
You want to keep him at that level like he owes that level something.
He owes them
the rest of his life. No, Deion said when he was leaving.
He could have lifted HBCUs
up. He didn't come to Jackson State for that to be the final job. He's looking for opportunities just like any other coach, period.
I know, but Colorado's
no matter Babbage. Race, creed. Whatever else.
Colorado's some Babbage, though.
I agree with you on that. I didn't think he had to take that job.
He owed Jackson State one more year, in my opinion.
He didn't owe them a thing.
You can't go out on a Celebration Bowl, L, man. It's just
now,
not right.
I thought he made some silly decisions for Jackson State when it came to your canceling out on
right.
Southern Heritage Classics when Jackson State may not be.
Man, ain't won nothing.
You know, once you're gone, you know, they may not be able to draw in the same way. They may not win in the same way. And they won't be able to have the same opportunities that would allow you to pull out of a situation like the Southern Heritage Classic would have been so good for that school.
Right.
Yeah, I think what's best for the school after Deion, because that was always what it was going to be about. Deion, like, to my point, Deion was never there for the entirety. I thought that was a bad decision they allowed to happen because Deion's their coach. But, dude, you can't knock this dude for good. Same opportunity. He basically said the same thing to them kids there.
I said nothing about Deion in about 4 months. Nah, it ain't like I'm on some jihad against Deion Sanders. I just didn't like the
– No, it was about 2 months ago. Maybe their schedule came out or something. You said they're going to win the two.
I'll give them three because I think they got Colorado State. I'm giving them three.
They ain't beating UCLA.
They ain't beating USC. They ain't beating Oregon State. You know, they ain't beating Oregon. So some
would say better to tell them to their face, man to man.
You can tell them face to face.
Instead of texting them or just telling the media they're out of here, some would prefer it that way.
That's fine.
You're big on they were embarrassed.
They were only embarrassed because it was broadcasted to the world, not because Deion did it in person, right? I respect that. Where you lose me is that you put and posted this on Twitter, and you're basically saying
it's part of the doc.
The documentary about what, man? Colorado football,
his rise. They've been doing that doc with him for like a year or two, and they've been with him the whole time.
That documentary going straight to Tubi.
No, this is the best stuff, right? Because it gets you riled up.
To you, he's like, oh yeah, this is great.
It'll be the best part of the doc when we see Deion going in there real and telling them kids, guys.
Y'all
you're
slow
out.
As hell. None of y'all
which
can play for me.
Which they were.
Well, that's not his, that's not their
Patino
fault.
Patino just said the same thing.
That's not their fault. But Patino is not going to put it on Instagram, bro. He's not going to say.
The man who was up in a restaurant.
We ain't talking about that.
That's what I'm saying. You can't go too far in your defense of Rick Pitino, the man here.
No, he would
never do this to the children. The man who was over there sending them to the strip club, everything else in Louisville. What are we talking about here?
He would not put it on Instagram, though. He would not put that stuff on Twitter and on TikTok. That's the difference.
Well, he would have a fall guy, which is what he did.
Yeah. We know you on the what you trying to get another Oscar?
Oh, I
or
am
something?
Pulling for Colorado because of you.
Pulling for what?
Because you're pulling so hard
four
against
wins.
Deion. I gotta pull
four.
For him.
Get the four, please.
I want him to go to South Florida. I wanted him to take that job.
Would have been better.
Stay close.
I think part of my saltiness is that he chose to go to work Colorado instead of the A's.
Just trying to figure out what it stems from, John.
Hey, I have one more that I actually, while we're on the subject of me being riled up about.
Next story.
As a country. We should be embarrassed. We should be humiliated today.
Why?
Because we lost a sporting event to Japan. I want to say that again, all right? We lost an athletic sporting event to Japan. A sport that I was once told was a pastime of this nation's. Well, time passed. Because I saw this on Twitter last night. I wasn't watching it. Apparently there was a World Baseball Classic Championship that was played last night.
Sure was.
And their best struck our best out swinging.
Teammates. Shohei struck out Mike.
All the gains that we have made since World War II, undone. Undone completely. All the relations that we have had with Japan since then, undone completely. I mean, if you're walking around today as an American, I don't know how you are not flat out humiliated. In fact, I think we should cancel baseball in this country because if we can't even, like, we're not supposed to play in things that we don't win, right? We're just not supposed to do that. We don't go into wars that we won't win. You know, like we can argue about, okay, well, what was our mission in Afghanistan, right? That war was over in 4 days. You know, we knew that. That's why we did it. We knew it would end in 4 days. We're not supposed to do things in 2023 as the most strong, richest global power on the planet and lose, right? So you spare me all your Shohei Ohtani quotes. Oh, this is such a great quote here. It ain't about Ohtani. It's about us. We have failed. Somewhere along the way, because we can't beat the Dominicans, we can't beat the Cubans, we can't beat the Japanese. You know, what are we doing? Yeah. We were rolling Goldschmidt out there and Trout striking out swinging. What a joke.
Yeah.
Embarrassing, in my view. So I don't want to hear nothing about baseball. I'm done. I'm done with the sport.
Oh, now officially you're out.
I don't want to hear it.
You were already out.
I don't want to hear it no more. I mean, honestly, is it not embarrassing today that we didn't win this
thing?
No, it
was America's pastime at one point. Japan owns us now.
Who else does Japan have? They just have Shohei Ohtani, that's it?
They've won three of these, I think. third classic championship in, as Brad points out. When I say I think, it means I know.
So they've won. How many have we won? The United States.
As you see how locked in we are, it would be a guess.
Clearly not enough.
Not this many. I don't think it's been around that long. So to have won like 10 of them, John.
Yeah, so I think what we should do is we should just pull. We should pull out. Right.
We have one.
We have
3-1.
2017.
Yeah. How long has it been? Brad. How long has it been in existence?
Let me.
Not long.
Research.
Okay, I hope not, because we've only
founded in 2006. 17 years.
So we have one since 2006.
Let me make sure I'm accurate, because I haven't.
That would be very depressing.
You got to be like Trump and pull out of the in plan
Japan,
here.
Japan's got.
No, it's only so many years. Japan has three.
Okay, gotcha.
Skips.
Okay, how many years is a skip though?
Is it
the Olympics?
It'll be in 26, right?
Okay,
three.
But yeah, you gotta like.
There you go. Celebrate 3 years or so.
So they have three.
I'm opting out. You gotta opt out.
We have one. The Dominican Republic. Has
and
one.
Mike Trout is supposed to be our best player.
Right.
To John's point about Japan beating our best, Shohei, their best, striking out our best, Mike Trout.
I watched the whole game. They're loaded. They have another pitcher. There was their setup guy that throws 102 miles.
Japan's loaded.
Yes. They are loaded.
They take it more seriously than we
center
do.
Center fielder was Lars Nubar, plays for the Cardinals. Like, they're not slaw. They're good. And they might have better pitching because we didn't have our best pitchers playing. A lot of teams didn't want their pitchers performing.
We got to pull out.
So, like Adam Wainwright,
right.
Okay? Like, I love Adam Wainwright. I'm a huge fan. He's not one of our best pitchers.
Not at this time.
No, not. He's throwing Uncle Charlie out there throwing a 75-mile-an-hour curveball.
We got
okay?
Yeah.
Like, now, we have good players. Like, you know, you got Arenado. You got Goldschmidt. That's great. You got Trout. Trout played like dog crap, though.
See, my thing is, if we're not going to take it seriously and our best players aren't going to play in it.
Here we go.
Let's not play in it.
Well, like that was USA basketball for a while.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly right. And you know, we had to get to a point to where they did. When they didn't, we got embarrassed on a nationals. Now, it's the Olympics, which I guess is a little different, right? But I don't know. Like, I'm an American. My birthday is July the 4th.
Man.
And my view as an elite, right, is that we don't play in things that we can't win. So let's stop playing in it. Let's take our ball and go the hell home, and let's focus on things we can win, like basketball. Let's focus on American football. We'll play anybody in American football, but let's change the rules here. No more World Baseball Classic for me, and there shouldn't be any more for this nation.
How strong is our grip on basketball?
Oh, I ain't worried about that.
Who's
threatened? Stop.
I'm just saying.
We're never going to relinquish basketball. That will never change. You know, World Cup's fine, whatever. Our expectations are so low there that it doesn't bother me.
Once it gets my brothers back in baseball,
huh?
maybe we can be great again. You know, the numbers have dropped off in terms of real talk. African American blacks in baseball has dropped off.
Do we have any on the World Baseball Classic
Mookie
team?
Mookie Betts.
Okay, we got Mookie. All right,
stud.
Yeah, doing everything you can for
y'all. Get our numbers back up, man. We come help you.
All right, well, I guess that's the next, but we need to eject.
Get
while
back
we,
to where they were in the 70s and the 80s.
Let the Dominican Republic and Japan fight it out every year while we get our affairs in order.
We had Tim Anderson too.
Oh, Tim Anderson. Okay, yeah, I know him. Power hitter there. Was he White Sox?
Tim even played, yeah, shortstop. And they had him at second, believe it or not. They actually played him at second and the White Sox allowed that, which is also kind of a rarity,
yeah,
right? Not his normal position.
He's the dude that hit the walk-off on that Field of Dreams game, I want to say, last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, boy, and he really pimped it, too.
Yeah.
So baseball, just in terms of the organizations themselves, don't like this as much because their guys are out there right before, at a time of spring training and everything else, right?
I think it's on a case-by-case. Cardinals love it because they get their young players to play spring training. They got a ton of prospects playing up. I don't think a lot. I think it's a case by case.
And you lose some vet in this, you know, World Baseball.
I think the Phillies were cool with it. They had most of their dudes out there.
I think some of them would be.
It sounds like the White Sox are cool with it. I think some of these dudes are not. I think the Dodgers are sort of so. I don't know. I mean, Betts was out there, so who knows? I haven't studied who's in and who's out, though. But you've seen some injuries in it, though. Dude gets plunked. I mean,
yeah.
Arenado got hit in the hand, and I thought he broke his finger. Now, he's cool, but like you're scared for a little bit.
This is where Altuve got hurt, and now he broke his wrist.
Yeah.
It was Altuve from the Mets, right?
Yeah, their closer.
Yeah, their closer's out for the year.
He got beamed, and he's gone.
He's out for the year.
Yeah. He's gonzo.
And they just gave him a fat new deal.
I mean, I'm sure they're not happy.
No.
I mean, they lost their guy.
Anyway, United States didn't win.
Oof.
Truly embarrassing.
I mean, they were good. If you watch that game, like, it felt like they deserved to win. Japan deserved to win that game last night. We couldn't manufacture runs. Trout struck out swinging, and it was three consecutive swings, I believe. They said it was one of the first times he's done that in years. It's wild.
That's how good Shohei is.
Yeah, he's just lights.
Got him! All right, we'll come back. Mark Giannotto will join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the Grizz, Tigers, and more. Stick around. Jason and John.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Turn FM, ESPN.
That's 1-800-889-9789.
Yeah. Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports, now open with better odds and favorable prices with Jason and John. Live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
I see a group and I ain't even know a tour. Maybe because she heard that I rhyme hardcore. Or maybe because she heard that I buy out the stores. Bottom of the ninth and then look at the score. If not, I gotta move on to the next. Oh, here comes the three to the two to the one. Homeboy tripping.
Sports columnist for the Commercial Appeal, host of Giannotto and Jeffrey right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is a jam when I was in college.
Yeah.
People love this song.
Yeah, this is
your... You were in there getting tipsy, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is one of those crossover songs that, like, you know, white people got into this. You know, they can relate to this.
I can tell right now.
I played in a celebrity classic with Jaquan over
Jay
West Kwan. Memphis.
That's his name.
There you go.
I was gonna quiz you.
Yeah, I would never have gotten that.
I don't remember the name of the guy.
Jaquan,
the song.
Legend.
Was just, you know.
I don't think he's. I don't think he's done anything since.
No.
A classic. It was one of those songs where if you had guessed in the moment, you probably could have guessed in the moment. This is gonna be a one-hit wonder type of guy, like Soulja Boy, kind of similar. I know he had one other song, but same genre.
Yeah.
I feel like
the last song he made was 2013.
Been a minute.
Yeah. So he just
Soulja's still a little relevant.
He getting tipsy.
Yeah. He's just spending the rest of his life getting tipsy. You know. Respect to Jaquan, man, for sure. All right, John Morant is making his return tonight.
Yes.
What do you expect of him the rest of his life, honestly?
The rest of his life. You know, it's funny. I was there yesterday. Like, I just kind of – I'm kind of over it at this point. Like, I feel like this whole thing has been so overblown at this point in terms of, like, you know, trying to make it a gun issue, trying to make it an alcohol issue, trying to make it a clubbing issue, it's pretty straightforward to me. It's like a 23-year-old who lost sight a little bit of who he was because he became a superstar, and you know he needed to get his priorities straight. And it feels like, even though it at times he still feels a little kind of defiant about it all, like it does seem like he's got his priorities straight again. Like this whole episode has, you know, and that I say that in the short term, like I expect he's going to be like a model citizen over the next few months, like through the rest of this season. Like, and if anything, I wonder if, as you know, he played pretty well this year, but I wonder if he was like distracted and now maybe there won't be as many distractions for him moving forward. But I expect, you know, it might be a little, I think tonight might be, I'm skeptical that we're going to see some sort of huge performance tonight in his first game back, just because I think it's going to be a little emotional, a little bit, you know, he said it, he's a little uncomfortable right now still, like easing his way back in, but, you know, by Friday, Sunday, like I expect it'll be fine. It'll, you know, and if anything, you know, I think he's coming back to a team that's in a better spot.
No doubt.
Than when he left 2 weeks ago. But I'm just kind of, you know, like Ja's got to find himself. But that's like a, you know, months, years process. You know, like the whole figuring it out. Like I think he's going to be fine the next 2 or 3 months, however long this season ends up going.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be fine. The question I have is, okay, what's going to happen in the off season? What's going to happen a year from now when this is kind of faded? Is he still going to be that same person he's saying he's going to be? I don't know. Like, only time will be able to tell us the answer to that. But I think for the foreseeable future, I think we're going to get a focused, engaged Ja Morant who probably is deep down a little embarrassed about how this has all played out. And I don't even think it's embarrassed from a, you know, I made a fool of myself, even though that probably should be the thinking. I sense it's more embarrassed that he had to leave the team. Like, when you hear him talk, like, what he is most ashamed of, if you will, and that's probably maybe even a strong word, but is that he feels like he let the team down in some way, and he did.
Yeah, you're going for 9 games.
And I think that's what matters to him. It, you know, even like the whole, you know, yeah, he shined a light, you know, he said he's, the way he's phrased it is he shined a negative light on his family and that. I think that probably weighs on him too, but to me it's more about what I sensed yesterday is, you know, coming back to the team, and as he put it, he like apologized to everyone via text, but it's just different doing it face to face. Like it sounds like he went around the room in some form or fashion and apologized to everyone for having to leave the team like he had to. And it seems like the players have welcomed him back with open arms. Like there's no animosity whatsoever. And in Dylan has alluded to this, not only is Ja more focused, it feels like this whole episode focused the entire team more. So I think, especially now that he's back and, oh, look, they're still in second place.
Yeah, it's right. It's because they were able to salvage this, go 6-3 without him, that makes it so much easier,
yes.
Right? Because if you had teammates that resented him being gone because they'd slid so far back.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be fine. I really do. And, like, there's a lot of attention on it right now. You know, like yesterday, the New York Times and ESPN was broadcasting live from it, and The Athletic has, you know, a national person here. And, like, there's a lot of attention on it and a lot of scrutiny on him. But, like, at this point, like I said, it seems like a bit much now, considering, like, this is not, he did not commit a crime. No one got hurt. Yeah, it was disturbed. The video was disturbing and stupid. But, like, that's all it was. Like, ultimately, like, I just don't think it is a big deal. But, like, frankly, it feels like it's been made into a much bigger deal than even it was. And I'll be happy when he steps on that court tonight. Because I think, as I put in my column up at commercialappeal.com, like, I think he's dealing right now with kind of an identity crisis. Especially, like, publicly. Like, he doesn't know. He's just trying, like, just as I think he was kind of portraying someone when he was doing that video and just acting, doing some of the things he's done that have gotten him in trouble, mm-hmm. I think right now he's doing the same thing. He's portraying what he thinks he needs to be in order to get through this. I don't think we're seeing any version that is a real Ja Morant right now. And that's fine. Like, that's fine. I understand why he has to do what he's doing right now. From a marketing standpoint, you know, like it makes sense. But I think he needs to figure out who he is publicly. Like, he is not just, let's just be honest, the facade is gone. Like, he is not just a doting father who loves on his daughter. He is that. But he, you know, and he's also not just the guy who couldn't stay out of the strip clubs. Like, that's not, he's not either of those guys solely. It's somewhere in the middle is who Ja Morant is. And I think in a public sense, I'm sure privately, you know, when he's with his family, he knows who he is. But, like, you know, we've seen it with, you know, whether it's anyone, like Penny Hardaway. Like, I've covered Penny Hardaway now for 6-7 years. Very rarely do I feel like I'm ever talking to, like, the real Penny Hardaway. Like, he has crafted a public persona for himself. And it worked. Like, you know, you wish it was, you know, you wish you lived, you know, you wish it was not, didn't have to be that way. And I'm sure there's some media members who do get to see the real Penny, for instance. But, like, you have to craft a public persona for yourself that you are comfortable with. And that, frankly, like, the corporate people you want to be on your side are comfortable with. And very clearly to me, Ja Morant wants to be, like, if he didn't want to be corporate spokesperson Ja Morant, like, he could do whatever the heck he wanted. Like, you know, ultimately, as long as he was really good at basketball. But he clearly wants to make money off being a corporate face, if you will. And you can't be the guy, that guy you were trying to be to do that. You also don't have to be like, you know, like ultimately, like, you know, we've talked to some industry experts. Like, the reality is for Ja right now, his career as a corporate spokesperson is not dead, but it's on hold. Like, no new companies are going to join, are going to sign him up right now.
Right.
Like, he's got some work to do in order to repair his image so that, like, Nike's sticking by him. Sure. We'll see what happens with Powerade. They've, like, removed his... Yeah, I saw this weekend. I mean, they've, like, restructured that ad he did. Like, there's still the... I don't know if you saw it on some of the March Madness stuff. They still have the part where the kid is, like, jumping up on the tire and stuff like Ja used to do. Basically, the kid portraying Ja as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But they've removed all Ja Morant from it. It's now, like, high... It's like... The ad used to be... You know, you work, you do all this work to become Ja Morant. Now the ad is you do all this work, like working on a tire, to be a star of March Madness. And they have, like, highlights of March Madness. Mm. And so now at the same time, his dad was drinking Powerade courtside Monday. So,
yeah, you know, I don't think we would have already, if they had severed it,
I don't think it's
that
dead.
News would be out.
Again, right, on hold. And, like, this shoe is about to come out nationally. I don't think my guess is, they are not killing the shoe, obviously, but I think it's going to be much more, you know, it looked like they were going to have a grand opening, if you will, based on what we saw at the All-Star game. And my guess is it'll be a much more subdued release now.
Maybe.
Given
what
has happened.
It could still get back, right? With this many regular
seasons
left. In terms of getting the shoe release back and, you know, having that.
Maybe
height, if we're going to use it.
I mean, you heard Michael Wilbon on ESPN that night before they, like, he basically said he's not going to have his kid buy Ja's shoes, and I don't think, like, he's probably the only person who is thinking that. Is it enough to, like, dent the sales of the shoe? Probably not.
Yeah,
like, probably not in a significant way. But Ja has a perception issue with some people. He's going to have to, like,
for sure.
That's going to take time.
It's really just don't have any more issues.
Yeah, like this, it's going to take...
It's not anything that you say at this point.
In 2-3 years, yeah, he could very... Like, if he's, you know, still a superstar player and, like, nothing else happens, we're going to look back and go, he never got arrested. Like, he didn't hurt any... You know, I mean, I guess there's the teenager thing, but there's... Yeah. He says there's going to be his side of the story. He's going to come out on some of that stuff. He can recover from it. It's just, like, in a holding pattern right now, it feels like. Mm-hmm. But just in general, I just hope he can... The way I phrased my column, like, the only thing he can do right now, like, he's not, like, the people who think he's never going to change, he's not going to convince by saying whatever he's been saying. Just like, he's not, you know, like, the people, everyone who's already convinced is on his side already. He's not going to change public opinion just by doing interviews and whatever at this point. The only thing he can really do right now, the only thing he can control is to be awesome on the basketball court again. To lead, you know how, like, you change a little of the bit of the perception of how this is? Go on a deep playoff run with the Grizzlies. You know?
That and not hit Instagram Live. There's just no need to do that.
I did think it was interesting. He said he was, like, not going to do social media anymore. And I think he was actually referring to Instagram Live. Because, like, he immediately...
Because Michael had asked him specifically about Instagram Live, had he not?
I think it was, like, social media. It was like, are you going to rein it back on social media? But I think he was referring to Instagram Live because he then... We got his first tweet in quite a while.
What was yesterday. It? I can't remember yet.
Step day by day, I think, is what he tweeted. I mean, I would just say if I was
just stay off period.
No, someone else should be controlling his social media accounts.
Why not at this point?
Like someone else, and if he wants to post something, run it by someone first, and they can post it. But like, I don't see what he gains at this point from posting his own thoughts on social media. Those social media channels should be for like, oh, I'm here to promote Powerade, or I'm here to promote my Nike shoe, or I'm here to do my 12 days of jog giving out free stuff to people who deserve it. Like, it should not be like his internal thoughts anymore. Like, it's too dangerous.
If some of that, like, he feels he owes that to the people, you don't anymore.
No,
I
think he's addicted to social
media. But he's been doing he was a kid, clearly.
Watch him in the locker room, like, he's on his phone immediately after the game. I think he's addicted to social media. But, like, a lot of people are addicted to social media. You know? At times I've been addicted to social media. You know? Like, it's just, it's unfortunate, but, like, you know, it's going to take time for him to realize, you know, to come to grips with everything. Like, this is yesterday just standing there as we're all swarmed around him, like 30, I think it was like two dozen people I counted. Like, that had to be kind of overwhelming a little bit. And I thought, in general, he handled it fine. Like, he didn't say anything that got him into more trouble. And, you know, I thought he said some... You know, like, he didn't, like, dismiss a lot of... He dismissed some of the questions, but not a lot of them. You know, like, he handled it, you know, fine. Like, I think he did all right. But at the same time, it's not... Some people just aren't going to be able to be convinced at this point that he's, like, a changed person. I don't think it's locally. I think it's more nationally.
Sure.
And it will be interesting to see how he handles, like... I hope he realizes, like, here in Memphis, we're not going to, like, interrogate him again like that. But, like, I think every new city he goes to, he's going to get some form, you know, someone's going to ask those types of questions to him. And especially when we get to the playoffs, it's going to happen. And it'll be interesting to see how he deals with that. And whether it becomes a distraction or whether how he reacts to that. Cause in some ways it's unfair, but I'm just telling you, it's inevitable. Just knowing how the media cycle works and how reporters' minds work.
Yeah. The other side, of course, of the basketball pendulum here in Memphis is the Tigers. And I think that's also kind of complicated in terms of wrapping it up and doing the postscript. I think me and Jason kind of came to the consensus that it's a teeny tiny toddler, unborn child, baby step forward.
Well,
but it's close.
The way I look at it, I think Penny can legitimately say we made progress as a program this year because they won more games. This was, until that last game, the best team Memphis has had in a decade. Okay? Like, that's just the bottom line. Now, and winning that title, like, having been there and feeling that moment, like, the joy that Penny felt, the satisfaction that the program felt from winning that AAC conference tournament title, like, that was meaningful. You can't just that can't just be erased because they played a bad game in the NCAA tournament. That being said, when we look back on this season 10 years from now, we are not going to think about the AAC tournament championship.
What could have been?
We're going to talk about what could have been this weekend.
What should have been?
What should have been this weekend? You're right. And so I think. It's progress, and he can say it was a successful season because it was. But I think even Penny said it. I asked him, I go, will this change? After the game in the postgame press conference, I asked him, I go, will this change how you think about the season? He goes, yeah, it definitely sours how I think about this season. Like, even Penny admitted, like, you can't just set that game to the side. You can't, especially because they played, it was the worst game they've played in a while. And it was, frankly, one of the worst games Kendrick played all year. If you look at it metrically, it was one of the worst games Kendrick played all year. And they're not the first team to come out and play a tight tournament game. Like, let's just be real. They played tight. And I think Jeffrey made a good point on our show. Like, I didn't even connect the dots as I was there, but they were standing in the tunnel with Florida Atlantic watching the end of that Purdue FDU game. And they were standing in the tunnel still as those FDU kids were running off the court, like jumping for joy, you know? And you can't help but think that even added more pressure to the whole situation. Like, knowing that you're going to play a 16 seed in the next round if you win, I don't think it helped. And I think, you know, like Kendrick, there were a lot of guys on that team who joined this team for that moment to play in the NCAA tournament, and it seemed they looked like it a little bit in terms of how tight they played. Still, should have won the game. You know, like ultimately, it was. I firmly believe that if they eke that game out, which it looked like they could do, even though they played poorly, it looked like they could eke that game out. I had no doubt in my mind I thought they were going to blow out FDU. I didn't even think they were just going to win. Like, I thought they were going to, that was going to be the, like, the game where they were tight and they were going to go out and blow out FDU. They just, you know, like I said, it comes down to, you know, they played a bad game. The team that won the AAC tournament did not show up for that game against FAU. It was a different team. They just, you know, and you hate to say it like this, but, like, your best player played like garbage.
He had his,
you know, like, and that's
struggling,
the truth.
Emotional, yep. And everything else.
Yeah, and then the end. I mean, I was
the ankle.
Me and Munns were right behind where they had us. We were directly behind the Memphis bench. Like, that was crazy.
So they said Haith was doing a good job. You tell me. They said Haith was kind of in the middle, trying to
sort of.
But Haith then was, I saw somebody look Haith like they were trying to grab him too.
Haith was, well. So there were a few things that I'd never seen anything like what happened. Like, maybe just because I don't always sit behind the bench, but I have never seen in 15 years of covering college basketball or basketball in general, like outside of like an AAU game, like the way Kendrick reacted in the heat of the moment, like he was screaming at Malcolm.
Well, once he got pushed, it took him to another level.
Yes. And then Malcolm reacted poorly. Haith was yelling at Malcolm.
Haith was yelling at Malcolm.
Yes.
That's what I wanted to do.
Haith was yelling at Malcolm. Then Haith, and I thought, I was surprised Penny didn't. Like, Haith was, like, trying to get Penny to call a timeout to calm everything down. It seemed like Haith kept going to Penny, like, timeout, timeout, timeout. Like, and Penny was like, no. And to be fair to Penny, like, he needed him at the end. I think that's how Penny was thinking about it. But the whole situation, it just felt like emotionally the team was never the same after
that's what
that.
So is Elijah listening at the end of the game when Penny is saying, don't bite on any three-point, you know, guard the mid? That's what I'm saying. Are they even on the same page at that point?
Because I think if you even look at it, like, they, you know, we overlook it now because DeAndre got tip-ins or putbacks on two straight possessions that gave them the lead twice. Those offensive possessions were horrendous leading into that. It's just they got saved by DeAndre got a putback and an and-one, and then he got the tip-in that gave him the lead with 30-some-odd seconds left. But, I mean, they just essentially – I mean, the way – they lost their cool in the, you know, the defining moments of the game.
It. Same thing happened in Columbus against – the last time they were up there against St. Louis. Crawford and Will Barton meltdown on the side.
And, you know, I think – I don't think there's anything more than I think Malcolm wasn't – I think Malcolm was really tired because he played a lot of minutes and we know he's not in the greatest shape coming back from the injury. And I think Kendrick was mad at his effort on some plays. And if there's anything deep-rooted there, it's probably just in general, Malcolm's effort level over his time at Memphis has been something I know from behind the scenes the staff has gotten frustrated with at times.
Right.
But I do think in general it was – just like competitiveness and like just, I mean, like, to be honest, like, I don't necessarily, I'm going to be honest, I don't really blame Malcolm as much as I blame Kendrick and all that. Like, I know.
Well, that's interesting.
Malcolm gave him a push.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.